Hi, it's Julie here from Bulimia Free, and today I'm answering some of the most commonly asked questions surrounding bulimia.
What exactly is bulimia?
Well, the usual definition of bulimia is that it's an eating disorder characterised by regular episodes of binge eating followed by purging, which is compensatory behaviours to prevent weight gain, which include self-induced vomiting, abuse of laxatives or diuretics, excessive exercise, eating very little or starving. The thing is, this is rather like reading the back of a book and expecting that you know the story inside. There's no way from this definition that anyone can really understand what it's like having bulimia. The reality of bulimia is a life of obsession, compulsion and loss. You're engulfed with an urge to eat, which you're compelled to carry out. You can't understand why you can't stop yourself. It drives you to become secretive and lie, so you to act out and cover up your behaviour that you feel compelled to do. You feel as if you have no control over your own body and mind. It's like you're possessed. You're overwhelmed with shame, guilt and self-disgust, and still you can't stop. You're terrified that there's something wrong with you, like seriously wrong with you, but the shame stops you telling anyone. It's isolating and lonely. You're terrified that you just can't trust yourself around food. So you shun social occasions. And then when you're alone, you find yourself binging. You feel right even then that you can't kind of control yourself. Your emotions and moods swing all over the place. And food seems to be the only comfort. It really seems like you can't cope with life. It's exhausting and soul-destroying. And as you try to hold everything together and pretend that everything's okay, it's really tiring. Bulimia hijacks your life. It's not interested in your hobbies and your dreams and your desires. You feel anxious, stressed and depressed. It saps your energy and robs you of your vitality and your self-esteem. It cuts you off from fully enjoying your life and threatens your health and well-being. You'd love to be free, but you're trapped. Unfortunately, bulimia is on the rise, regardless of age, gender, or ethnicity. And there are many people of both sexes turning to bulimic behaviours and using various forms of purging to compensate for broken diets and overeating, like a kind of emergency strategy, if you will. But they're putting themselves precariously on the edge of full-blown bulimia. The thing is, at the very beginning, it's easy to think you can have your cake and eat it, but you're soon out of control, as I know only too well from my own experience of bulimia. And that control soon slips away, and the cycle of binging and purging quickly turn into an addictive habit.
So why would anyone binge and purge?
Well, if you ask any number of people why they binge and purge or have bulimia, you'll get as many different reasons, and sometimes different reasons from the same person at different times. Often the explanations given, or those you find online, go along these lines. I'm using as a crutch or a coping mechanism to deal with life, or to push down or distract from unwanted feelings and emotions, as a response to stress or depression, as a way of managing or controlling weight, or to avoid dealing with past trauma. Now, these explanations make some sense, especially if someone's been caught up in bulimia for a long time. But the problem here for me is that these explanations take away personal power and responsibility and create victims who become blind to their own innate power and wisdom and become trapped. Of course, someone can experience a traumatic event that leads them to restrict their diet in the first place, and some sort of therapy may be essential for them to deal with the overwhelming emotions. However, although painful and awful, these events are not the cause of their binging and purging. Because here's the thing, the brain is hardwired for your survival, regardless of someone's background, physiological or psychological, or emotional issues, regardless of their body image, self-esteem, or personality traits. These are not what are causing someone to binge and purge and maintain bulimia. When someone goes on a restricted diet for a period of time, and it doesn't have to be that long, the survival mechanism kicks in. The most primitive part of the brain, or reptilian brain, thinks you're facing a famine and it responds by lowering the body's metabolic rate to conserve energy and sending messages of hunger, which if aren't met, turn into uncontrollable urges to eat. And when food is available, to eat as much as possible, especially foods that are made up of simple carbohydrates, the fatty and sugary ones. And these are the foods that someone with bulimia will eat when they purge. This part of the brain, the reptilian brain, is instinctive. It has no concept of dieting and has no idea that food is readily available. You cannot override this part of the brain. It is there to keep you alive and just tries to stop breathing. By purging, the body is kept in the survival mode, which is a highly distressed state. Check out the effects of undereating, and you'll be surprised to find the parallels that are very similar to the symptoms of eating disorders. Excessive hunger initially causes the urges to binge, but by purging, a cycle is created which becomes a highly addictive habit, making it really hard to stop. However, once someone understands what is really going on, it makes it so much easier to stop. And I go into this in much more detail in my book, Bulimia Free. When someone suffering from bulimia, what they're really experiencing is a learned response that has become a habitual pattern. Now, I'm not saying someone suffering from bulimia isn't experiencing a perceived inability to cope with life, overwhelming emotions, stress or depression, and a whole host of negative thoughts and emotions. But this isn't really why they're purging.
Why is it so hard to stop bulimia?
Well, there's no doubt about it that bulimia, or I guess really what we're talking about here, is the binge-purge cycle. And that is really hard to stop. And there's a number of reasons why. When somebody initially starts binging, it is generally a response to the messages from the brain to eat. The overwhelming, uncontrollable urges to eat are a part of a primitive survival mechanism that has you seek out and eat food because your brain thinks you're in a famine. It has no idea the availability of food is widely available and that you are on a diet. Because the binging is followed by purging, the body is kept in a continual state of hunger and seeks to eat food. Hence the growing obsession with food and the uncontrollable urges to binge the bulimic experiences. The thing is, from the moment of the first binge, the brain is being sent powerful messages. Binging is pleasurable. The denied foods that are eaten taste great, and this feels good. And any tension created from trying to resist the food dissipates as you let go and give in to your cravings and you eat what you want. And this feels so good. A strong cocktail of chemicals, you know, these really feel-good chemicals, are released and the brain registers pleasure and connects the pleasure with the binge food. And this powerful message is then stored in the brain. So the next time the urge to binge is there, the memory that binging is pleasurable jumps into the foreground, making the urge harder to resist, and any feelings of disgust about purging fade into the background. As the urges to binge become more frequent, and the more someone gives into them, the more hardwired the behaviour and the secondary benefits become in the brain. And before long, the cycle of binging and purging has become an extremely addictive habit. Human beings are naturally pleasure-seeking creatures. And when suffering from bulimia, there is a whole lot of stress and anxiety. The sufferer has a lot of negative thoughts and feelings about themselves, their body, and their lives. So whenever and for whatever reason someone suffering from bulimia is upset, their brain remembers how to quickly get that pleasure and sends a signal to binge. As the habit develops, more associations are created and the behaviour is acted out in ever-increasing situations, further reinforcing the behaviour and the continuance of bulimia. And not knowing what is going on, their actions seem totally out of their control and seem very hard to stop. And if that weren't enough, there are many false myths and misconceptions around bulimia that maintain its presence in someone's life, keeping them further trapped. understanding how the brain works, in particular, how habits are formed and the role of thinking, is paramount to regaining personal power and recovering from bulimia.
Typically, who develops bulimia?
Well, bulimia is usually considered to be a problem amongst adolescents and young women. And whilst this still remains the largest group, numbers who are seeking help are increasing regardless of age, gender, or ethnicity. Bulimia is very secretive because of the shame and guilt attached to it. And so many who are suffering, suffer in silence. And so it can only be assumed that these numbers are rising too. Today, more than ever, we live in a very body-conscious world with self-esteem and self-worth getting more and more linked to body image, almost to the exclusion of any other attribute we may have. Young girls are highly influenced by images of extremely slim models and movie stars, and so try to become thin and attain the so-called perfect body, and as a consequence, become bulimic. Many schools, colleges, and even universities are experiencing problems with disordered eating. On top of looking good, there's so much pressure to perform and do well, and food can easily become a comfort before becoming the enemy. One of the sharpest rises in those seeking help for bulimia is women hitting midlife. Aging can be a challenge for many women as their bodies change, And although they feel young inside, the mirror tells another story. Menopause, changes in body shape, health concerns over obesity, divorce, loss, and the resulting grief can all generate a huge amount of stress for somebody during midlife. Food is a great comfort. You know, from an early age, we learn or associate food with comfort. And so it is so easy to turn to it at times of stress and overwhelm. And so on goes the weight. Today, baby boomers are big business, and just as adolescents of both sexes and young men and women are bombarded with unrealistic images and lifestyles, so too are the baby boomers or midlifers, who are having images and advertising campaigns directly aimed at them. We've been led to believe that one way to improve ourselves or ourselves and our self-image and to feel more confident is to lose weight, become thinner, and look younger. And for some, to get bigger muscles and fitter. The underlying unconscious message here is that something is wrong with our bodies and our faces. Even though we know the images are airbrushed or that celebrity or model has had a little help from a plastic surgeon, we can't help but compare our bodies and faces and find them wanting. Now, I'm not saying that these images cause bulimia, but they cause a great deal of dissatisfaction with our bodies, resulting in dieting, which can bring on or rekindle bulimia.
How does bulimia develop?
Well, for me and from the many other stories I've heard, it really all starts with dieting. And what I'm about to say may well resonate with someone listening, because a very common pattern seems to emerge. So for whatever reason you want to lose some weight, and you go on a diet, either restricting calories or food types, and perhaps exercising some more. And for a while, the diet goes really well. You lose weight and you feel great. I remember feeling quite exhilarated watching the downward trend on the scales. But at some point, the scales no longer follow their downward trend. So you restrict further. I mean, it seems like a logical thing to do if you want to lose more weight. The hunger pang that you've been managing to ignore gets stronger. You start to feel hungry shortly after eating. And pretty soon, even the act of eating makes you want to eat more. Trying to resist becomes harder and the tension mounts. The hunger pangs become urges. You try to resist, but one day you cave in and it feels so good to let go and eat what you want. But then comes the guilt and the panic. You're terrified of the weight gain. All that good work undone, gone to nothing. So you throw up. Although you feel disgusted, the instantaneous relief that throwing up brings is great, and the seed is sown. You begin to think about food all the time, and eating becomes a battleground as you go to war with your body. The next time you feel an overwhelming urge to binge, the memory of the last binge comes to mind, and the idea becomes irresistible. You begin to feel anxious and irritable and stressed. The binging becomes more frequent, as does the purging. And before long, control or any choice in the matter has slipped out of your hands. Bulimia has got you. And you find yourself trapped in the vicious cycle of binging and purging. I just want to mention some of the effects of undereating, which effectively is what going on a diet is. Because surprisingly, they have an uncanny parallel with many cited causes of bulimia. So here goes. Urges to binge. Obsessive thoughts about food and weight. Low mood. Mood swings and depression. Heightened obsessiveness and compulsiveness. Self-criticism. Distorted body image and feelings of being overweight despite being thinner. Leading to low self-esteem. Feeling emotional and unable to deal with life's ups and downs. Distorted and irrational thinking, affecting how the under-eater or the dieter perceives and responds to themselves, others and life. Nervousness and anxiety. Panic symptoms, which are not just emotional but commonly arise if the body's stress systems are not getting sufficient nutrients to keep someone balanced and able to cope with life. Chemical imbalances in the brain and the body. Now, I was quite shocked when I discovered that these were the effects of under-eating. And I was even more shocked when I discovered that the psychological effects I've just mentioned of following a restricted diet have been known about for decades.
What are the causes of bulimia?
Well, years after I'd recovered from bulimia and had begun working as a life coach and mentor, I got really curious as to what had caused my eating disorder. What actually were the causes of bulimia? So I started to research and was amazed to find out that no one really knew. I mean, you know, in the medical profession, not just like no one, lay people, but, you know, in the medical world, people really are not sure. So everywhere I looked, I found different causes and theories, such as a genetic predisposition, biological and chemical imbalances, environmental factors, which branched out into family upbringing, past events, and the culture of dieting, amongst many others. Some said it was all about food. Others said it was all about emotions or the inability to deal with them. Further research revealed it was probably a combination, but on a personal level, which combination, who or what was to blame? And many of these factors seem so out of one's control. So what do you do if you have one of those out-of-control factors? How are you ever going to recover? Now, usually when searching for a solution to the problem, in this case, how to recover from bulimia, you know, how do you stop it? The obvious place is to look for the cause. But when no one seems to know exactly what the cause of bulimia or any other eating disorder for that matter is, and with that, and with it being a likelihood that it's a combination of factors, where do you start? What do you do? I mean, life is pretty bad when you've got bulimia anyway. And thinking that it's caused by something outside your control can make it seem like you're living under a life sentence. And the fact that it seems so hard to stop only compounds the idea that you're never going to be able to stop, that you simply don't have the willpower, that you're somehow flawed, and that there is really something outside of your control. I don't know how many times I promised myself I'd never binge and purge again, and that this was going to be the last time, only to go and do it again and again. But one day, nearly 20 years ago, I kept that promise to myself and never did it again. Whilst at the time I had no idea exactly how I'd stopped, during several years of studying courses and training, I discovered some interesting and amazing things about how we think and behave, which coincidentally revealed to me the mechanisms and the underlying structure of bulimia and how I had been able to stop and fully recover, despite having some of the so-called contributing factors that would have seemed totally outside of my control.
What are some really effective recovery tips?
Well, the most effective recovery tips require that some sort of action is taken. So if someone is thinking that it's going to be hard, to be a struggle, and that recovery is something that they have to give up, their actions may not be as effective as if they looked at bulimia recovery as a journey to reclaiming themselves and their lives, a life in which they have a healthy relationship with themselves and food, and are confident and happy in doing what they love. So discovering what you love and who you truly are is really important. Also, it begins to shift the sufferer's focus from what they don't want to what they do want. And I often have people use mood boards and vision boards to create their own advertisement of what they'd love for themselves and their lives. The thing is, many people make the fundamental mistake of simply focusing on their bulimia, why they have it, and how to stop it, or fix it, or fight it. Focusing on what you love creates a totally different mindset, and you'll find that bulimia instead slips away. The next tip is imperative, and whilst it isn't a tip most bulimia sufferers want to hear, because of their overwhelming fear of putting on weight and being out of control around food, it is the one single tip that can alleviate, if not get rid of, all the bulimia symptoms. And that is to stop dieting. And that means any form of dieting, and begin to eat nutritious meals and snacks on a regular basis every single day. The thing is, it may seem like eating is the problem. However, in reality, it is the dieting or restricting of food that is the major problem and is the major contributing factor for binging. The secret to stop the binge and purge cycle characteristic of bulimia is to start eating. Now, it took me a long time to get my head around that all those years ago. I mean, I was terrified of putting on weight. But once I began to eat little and often so I didn't get hungry, I began to feel a whole lot better, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And the binging and purging slipped away. The thing is, many recovered bulimics find that they're able to maintain a lower weight than the weight they had when they were suffering from bulimia, as their bodies come back to balance. So it's totally possible to be slim and healthy when bulimia is out of your life with no effort at all. Relapses will happen. They are simply part of recovery. The thing is, when you've deprived your body of food some time, and that is essentially what you've been doing, you will remain preoccupied with food, and the temptation to overeat will remain for some time after the threat of starvation is gone. It really is your body protecting you and wanting your survival, which it has been its intention all along. So be patient, be kind, and be loving with yourself and that body of yours. This preoccupation with food as you start to recover can be greatly lessened by shifting your focus onto what you love for yourself and your life that I mentioned earlier. And this has an added bonus of lifting your mood and making negative habits far less compelling. It's also good to have an understanding of the false myths and misconceptions surrounding bulimia and bulimia recovery, as these can keep someone stuck. I have a document on my website, www.bulimiafree.com, that can be downloaded for free, plus many other free resources. Get some support, tell someone what's going on for you, and get their help. You know, it's great to have someone to celebrate your successes with, no matter how small. In fact, this is really quite important. Left to our own devices, we often overlook small successes or the achievement of a small step in the right direction. And therefore, we don't see how well we're doing and how far we're moving along. Learn some relaxation and de-stress techniques, like meditation, listening to some good music or mood music, and getting enough sleep. Your body needs it. Exercise your body for pleasure and fun, not as a punishment. Find out how your body loves to move. And last but not least, believe you can recover. As Henry Ford said, if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can't. Either way, you're right.
What are the signs and symptoms of bulimia?
Bulimia symptoms are actually often difficult to see in the early stages because the behaviour is usually very secretive and many bulimics stay within their normal weight range for their age and height. The main symptom or characteristic of bulimia is binging and purging, in which an excessive amount of food is eaten followed by certain behaviours commonly known as purging to prevent weight gain. These include self-induced vomiting, misuse of laxatives and diuretics, fasting, and excessive exercise. Now, whilst a binge is normally considered to be eating huge quantities of food at any one time, someone with bulimia actually may not always eat a huge amount, especially when eating in company, just too much for them. Or a dietary rule is broken, and then they go on to consume more than they want. And that may look quite normal to an onlooker. So making a diagnosis on food alone or food intake alone can be very difficult. There are, however, some specific warning signs, including an obsession with weight, shape, and size, constantly dieting, the disappearance of large amounts of food, a preference to eat alone, almost always going to the bathroom after eating, and hearing running water is quite common to cover up the noise of vomiting. Weight swings, and there can be rapid weight loss if the person has both anorexia and bulimia, which they oftentimes eating disorders coexist. Spending less time with family and friends, so becoming isolated and withdrawn. Mood swings, depression, calluses and cuts on the backs of hands and knuckles. Erosion or loss of tooth enamel, tooth decay and tooth loss. If you suspect that a person is exhibiting some bulimia symptoms, encourage them to seek help. If you have symptoms yourself or know that you have bulimia, seek help. Bulimia negatively impacts all areas of your life and the long-term effects can be devastating.
So, what are the side effects of bulimia?
Bulimia side effects are wide-ranging and have implications both short and long-term on the sufferer's physical and emotional health and well-being. And without sounding dramatic, side effects or consequences of bulimia can become devastating. Depending on the severity, bulimia can take over someone's life to the exception of all else. However, the severity is not necessarily reflected in the side effects, as everybody is different. The particular side effects that bulimia can inflict, the time it takes for more serious conditions associated with this eating disorder to develop, and the amount of damage caused will vary totally from person to person. So sufferers shouldn't be lulled into a false sense of security, thinking they're not that bad or it's under control. Bulimia affects the sufferer physically, psychologically, and behaviourally. And medical evidence in the effects of bulimia show that over time, bulimia has the potential to inflict irreparable damage on every single system of the body. Unfortunately, many of the psychological and behavioural side effects actually fuel and perpetuate the problem of bulimia, creating a downward spiral. As the bulimic behaviour becomes more habitual, it also impacts all areas of their lives and the lives of those close to them. Now, whilst you can't scare yourself into bulimia recovery, as I well know from my own experience, when suffering from bulimia, it is really important to learn about the implications, possible dangers, and life-changing conditions that bulimia can inflict. For a full fact sheet, please go to my website, www.bulimiafree.com, where you can download a free copy. Bulimia side effects present problems not only to the sufferer, but also to society. Everyone in the sufferer's circle of influence are impacted one way or another. And with the incidence of bulimia and other eating disorders rising, it's really important to take care of each other by becoming aware of the causes of bulimia and what puts people at risk and the bulimia symptoms and side effects, so that bulimia can be detected sooner rather than later and the sufferers get the appropriate bulimia treatment. It's important to know that although there's no agreement on the causes of bulimia, there's a universal agreement with a body of scientific research to back it up that by restoring regular eating on a consistent basis, many of the psychological and behavioural side effects disappear.
How important is bulimia help?
Well, getting the right bulimia help supports and guides someone suffering from bulimia through recovery and beyond. Armed with the correct information, with support, tools and motivation. It's 100% possible to be bulimia free and achieve lifelong recovery. However, very rarely is the road to recovery a straight one. There's usually bends and detours, and so trying to stop alone is hard, especially when the going gets tough, like when there's a bend or a detour, and willpower alone doesn't usually work. It's also great to have someone to celebrate your successes with, no matter how small. In fact, this is really quite important. Left to our own devices, we often overlook the small successes or the achievement of a small step in the right direction, and therefore we don't see how well we're doing and how far we're moving along. Interestingly though, we always manage to see and focus on the failures, however small. So, with support, it's so much easier to keep a balanced perspective. It's also helpful to get an understanding of the many myths, misconceptions and false beliefs surrounding bulimia, as this can make letting go of bulimia so much easier when you really see how it doesn't serve you and keeps you trapped. The earlier bulimia help is sought, generally, the easier and quicker the recovery bulimia can be. Because bulimia soon becomes an addictive and habitual companion, and the more ingrained the behaviour, the harder it is to let go. There's a lot of fear around putting on weight, but the belief that bulimia controls your weight is false. Many bulimics find that they actually maintain a lower weight when their bodies come back to balance. The clinical diagnosis of bulimia is when the binge eating and purging both occur on average at least twice a week for 3 months. However, if someone is using purging as a weight management or weight loss strategy, they too really need to get help as soon as possible because they're on a slippery slope. This is how many people innocently start before finding themselves caught up in full-blown bulimia. So anyone following this strategy should be aware of lulling themselves into a false sense of security, thinking they're not that bad or it's all under control. Control quickly slips away because binging and purging becomes a highly addictive habit, and the purging itself contributes to further or ongoing binging, thus creating a cycle that is really hard to break. There are many types of bulimia help, and finding the right help and support for the individual can make all the difference when it comes to a full recovery. And anyone with bulimia should know that full recovery is possible. And the further you get away from your eating disorder, the better life becomes.
What should you do if you suspect someone has bulimia?
Well, if you suspect someone has bulimia or is binging and purging, it can seem difficult to initiate the conversation, especially if you're concerned that you'll say the wrong thing or that you'll upset and alienate the person. You may even think you're mistaken. However, you've got to trust yourself and don't let any worries stop you from expressing valid concerns. This conversation could be the one they've been waiting for. They too may be struggling to find a way to initiate the conversation themselves and open up about their struggle. Often people with bulimia are simply too afraid or ashamed to ask for help. Before raising the matter, it's really helpful to learn as much as you can about bulimia. You know, the reality of living with bulimia and how it impacts someone's life. The clinical definition does not give much away as to the true nature of bulimia. Just having an understanding from this point of view is rather like reading the back cover of a book and thinking you know the story inside. However, understanding the true nature of bulimia allows you to initiate the conversation from a place of compassion and love. Suffering from bulimia is a nightmare and is not something that is chosen or the sufferer has any control over. You know, bulimia hijacks someone's life. It also helps to understand the many false beliefs and misconceptions surrounding bulimia, as these can be some of the biggest obstacles to recovery and keeps the sufferer stuck in their behaviours. So some preparation is advisable, and I have a number of resources on my website, www.bulimiafree.com, that can be downloaded for free that will help you know what to look out for. It's helpful to make notes on the signs and symptoms you've observed, and when you're ready, choose a time when you relax and can speak without any distractions. Any concerns are best addressed in a loving and non-confrontational way, as critical or accusatory statements are likely to cause defensiveness. So perhaps you could start with something along the lines of, "I've noticed that," or "I'm concerned about." And if they're willing to talk, listen to what they have to say. Just hear them out and learn where they're at. As distressing as it is to have your worst fears confirmed, try to remain calm, positive, and focused. Let them know that they're no longer alone, that they are loved no matter what, and ask how best you can help them and what support they really need. So having an idea of the different recovery methods and help available can be useful, as the right approach for each person will vary on their specific symptoms and issues as well as the severity of their disorder. However, you have to be prepared that they may well deny having an eating disorder and be angry and defensive, evasive or manipulative. And there is so much shame and guilt surrounding bulimia, but do not give up. It may take time for them to admit having a problem. And unless they're a child, you cannot force them to seek help, and even then it can be very difficult. However, you can really help by letting them know you'll be there for them with unconditional love, support and compassion. Whenever they're ready to speak about or tackle the problem, keep the lines of communication open and be a good listener. The thing is, bulimia should never be ignored. The person's health and well-being is at stake. And the longer it is left untreated, generally, the more difficult it is to overcome. However, full recovery is possible regardless of the severity or the time someone has suffered. Your love, support and understanding will go a long way in helping them recover. So be courageous and start the conversation. Like I said earlier, it could be the conversation they've been waiting for. And if not, there will come a time when they're grateful for your intervention, when they see that being bulimia-free is the best gift that they can give themselves.
What should you do if someone tells you that they have bulimia?
When someone tells you that they have bulimia, it can be difficult in the moment to know what to do or what to say. But the thing is, when someone tells you they have bulimia, you cannot underestimate the courage it has taken to share this with you. Bulimia is surrounded by so much shame and guilt, and they'll be feeling incredibly vulnerable, insecure, and concerned about your reaction. And they're also probably in a moment of crisis and reaching out for help. I know from my own experience, those were the times when I felt the most need to reach out for help, but I was never that brave. And as hard as it may be to put your shock, your concern and questions to one side, the best thing to do is simply let them speak and to listen with as much attention and compassion as you can. Hear them out and try and understand where they're at and what is going on for them and what help and support they need. Now the thing is, someone's initial reaction to being told that their loved one has bulimia may not have gone that well, and this is often the case. It may have come out of the blue and be a complete surprise, or having your worst fears confirmed can be frightening. People react in many different ways, feeling varying emotions such as anger, confusion, worry or guilt. They may even dismiss the idea that there is any problem. However, hindsight, as they say, is a wonderful thing. And on reflection, someone may wish they'd reacted differently. However, all is not lost. When something is not understood, it can cause a lot of confusion, and there are many preconceived ideas around bulimia, such as it being some kind of lifestyle choice, that someone does it for attention, or they can just stop if they really want it. The thing is, bulimia becomes a highly addictive behaviour. It's really hard to stop. No one intends to get bulimia. So if the initial reaction wasn't great and you've alienated or upset your loved one, don't beat yourself up. Talk to them about your reaction and express your love, your unconditional love and your desire to understand and help them. First though, it will help to get an understanding of what bulimia is really all about and the impact that it has on your loved one's life. You see, the clinical definition does not give much away as to the true nature of bulimia. Just having an understanding from this point of view is rather like reading the back of a book and thinking you know the inside story. Suffering from bulimia is a nightmare and is not something that the sufferer has chosen or has control over. Understanding the daily reality of bulimia will give you compassion, and your love, understanding and support will go a very long way helping them to recover. It also helps to understand the many false myths, beliefs, and misconceptions surrounding bulimia, as these can be some of the biggest obstacles to their recovery and keeps them trapped in a cycle of binging and purging. That they opened up to you in the first place is a really good sign that they want to recover that need some help. So having an idea of the different recovery methods and help available can be useful, because the right approach for each person will vary depending on their specific symptoms and issues, as well as the severity of the disorder. The more informed you become, the easier it is for you to understand what your loved one is going through and what you can do to support them as they recover. To be part of someone's recovery is a powerful and profound experience, and by creating an environment of love and support, you can help your loved one find freedom from bulimia. I have a number of free resources on my website, www.bulimiafree.com.
How do you tell someone that you have bulimia?
Telling someone you have bulimia is not easy. It brings up a lot of anxiety and fear about how the person will react. And you know, we all have a tendency to think or imagine the worst possible outcomes when thinking about sharing something personal and private, particularly something we're ashamed of and not sure the other person will understand. It's quite possible someone's initial reaction may not be the exact one you want. But the thing to remember here is, one, they're reacting to what you've told them, not to you personally. Two, people react with varying emotions, and it is their shock, surprise, fear, or misunderstanding that has them react in this way. And it's important to know that this is their initial reaction. Three, with understanding comes compassion. A little bit of preparation can help, a sort of plan of action rather than waiting until a moment of crisis. And there are six main steps to consider. The first step is why. What are the positive benefits from telling someone? And there really are a lot. For example, by sharing that you have bulimia, it takes a lot of the power out of it. It's the end of secrecy, isolation, and fear of being found out. Focusing on the positive outcome can really help quell any fears that you have about telling someone. Step two is to work out who you want to tell. If you're not sure, simply start by writing out a list of all the people that you could tell. Step three is to consider what you'd like to say. It's important here to help whoever you tell understand the reality of bulimia and how it's affecting you and your life. So it's important to be honest here. Making a list of what you'd like to cover can be helpful, and you don't have to say everything during the initial conversation. Step four, what support do you want and how do you want to be supported? You'll probably find different people can support you in different ways. So if you go back to step two, where you considered who you could tell, you can now just consider the varying type of support you'd like from each of them. The next step, five, is how. How do you want to tell them? Do you want to speak to them face to face, over the phone, by letter or email? And then step six is when and where. So for more information on bulimia recovery and how I can help you, please go to www.bulimiafree.com. Thank you.